Okay, this is Reading with Roxanne, and it is a podcast obviously about reading, and it's based on Sarasota Bookstore 1, which is at 12 South Palm Avenue in Sarasota. And tonight I'm actually going to do something that's never been done before. I'm not exactly David Blaine. I'm not getting helium balloons and going over the Hudson, but rather I am going to conduct the beginning of a book club that I run, which is a nonfiction book club, Mindfulness Books. And tonight we're going to be talking about The Serendipity Mindset by Christian Bush. And I've gotten the permission of the participants to record the first bit of our podcast. So I thought I would do that just for fun, so that if you ever wanted to sign up for a Zoom class, you'd kind of know how it's run. So I'll give you sort of a sneak peek at that. I want to remind you that sarasotabooks.com is our website. It is an online store right now that's open all the time. Other book clubs are on our website too. If you go to the main site, if you scroll down, you'll see book clubs. And I'll be doing one at the end of September for a novel called Ant Kind by Charlie Kaufman. A hilarious book. If you like movies and just wacky comedy, this book is for you. We've also got other ones going on, though. We've got a Spanish book club that Georgia Court runs, who's the owner of our store. And we also have a Mysteries to Die For book club. We also have some author events coming up, too. So I encourage you to go to our website, www.sarasotabooks.com. So I'm going to briefly pause this and restart once our Zoom meeting gets going. And I'll probably just record, you know, probably 10 minutes of the Zoom. And just again, to give you a sneak preview as to what some book clubs are run like. We each have our own take and style. So you'll get to see mine at least. And then I hope you'll join us sometime. Thanks.
I'm familiar with that saying. I forget now who's ever been it. The more I work, the harder I work, the luckier I get. That kind of a thing, you know. That work breeds good luck. But other than that, no, not past that. I don't think. I turn my phone ringer off.
I guess I had always thought that every decision you make is sort of serendipitous in some ways, right? I mean, it's like the road less taken. You're always making a decision, and that's always going to lead you down, I mean, every single day of your life, really, when you think about it.
Yeah. Like, as a physician, I was always programmed to make decisions in a certain direction.
Right.
It hit me a lot. When I was back in medical school, back in early 70s, late 60s, and we were told before you apply, get a liberal arts education. Don't major in biology and chemistry. Well, I call that the great lie, because people who didn't major in biology and chemistry got creamed when it came to the test, and we had a tremendous advantage. But I can see it now, you know, the serendipity thing. If you have a broad education, interest in other areas, more chance you'd make a connection that wasn't there.
That's true. And Christian Bush in Serendipity Mindset mentions that you sometimes, if you specialize too much, that you shut out some chances, like you just said, of having other opportunities. So, I really liked. I mean, there were a lot of interesting things. You probably got to the second chapter where he says, out of 70 people, if you get 70 people in a room, chances are two are going to have the same birthday. Just like little things like that kind of surprised me. It's interesting.
Yeah. I think that's on a given day. But if you just say any birthday, it's 23. If you get 23 in a room, probably two people have some birthday.
Right,
In common. You know what day it is, you know, but it's amazing.
It is amazing. My mom's significant other actually has the same birthday as my brother, and then his son has the same birthday as me. So there's four, five people, and there's two connections already. So I guess I shouldn't have been that surprised.
It's like the 6 degrees of separation thing. You know, there's always something closer than you think.
That's true. That's so true. That's a small world saying. I really liked, I started tearing out pages for my son from this book because I really liked For instance, pages 74 and 75, he was just talking about how important it is to just get moving to increase your chances of serendipity, where, you know, a lot of people, I think especially the pandemic has really gotten people more inward and sort of sheltered, obviously, and for safety for a long time. But now that we can go out again, I think some people have gotten into the habit of not doing much. And so I think it's hard sometimes to kickstart that. But he talks about, and again, this was written pre-pandemic, but he talks about how important it is to just start doing something to increase your chances of what, right. of anything.
It's almost, you know, like in chemistry, if you have molecules in solution, you might connect and make a bigger molecule. And the more you heat it up, the faster they go, and the more chance happens. You know, I'm going to sit there in a cold solution, probably not going to happen.
Right, exactly.
Make chance.
Yeah. Now, you said you were a physician. What kind of physician were you?
A pathologist.
Oh, okay. Wow. I liked his conversation questions, too. There was a section where, you know, if you do meet someone, how to talk to them so that you're not just asking, like, what do you do for a living? Like, sort of what I just asked you. But more like what constitutes a perfect day for you? Like, deeper questions where you're getting to know somebody on a different level. I like that part a lot. It's hard to think of those in the moment, though, sometimes, those magic questions that'll help you.
I think you have to have one or two cans that you can pop up over time, just because they move and hope that it takes off, and if it doesn't, well, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Just give yourself a chance.
Yeah, and it's part of, like, networking skills, too, which I think is important for anybody, no matter what field you're in. I like this part, too, where he asks you to think about, I like, you know, each chapter ends with almost like a worksheet of things you could try. And I loved where he said, think of three things you would do if you couldn't fail. What a beautiful idea that is, you know, like, just the allow yourself to dream, like, what would you do? That's a fun idea. I like it.
Maybe better if he said, if you didn't care if you failed, go ahead and fail, but just, you know,
yeah.
not take it so hard, you know.
He mentions that too, that that fear of failure keeps a lot of people from experiencing things. What else here? What nuggets did you find? Did you write anything down or underline anything?
I didn't, but you know, now that I didn't finish the book, I will next time. I'm a little.
Oh no!
I feel kind of like.
I don't mind sharing the notes I have and just ping ponging with you, but I just didn't want to take up the time of. Just reading my notes.
In fact, I've always been an introvert by nature, and I haven't been very outgoing. And I keep thinking, geez, if I was a little more outgoing, maybe something would have popped up, you know, something I wouldn't expect. But I tend to probably miss a lot of things, keep my head in the sand, let them pass by.
I'm an introvert, too, and a creature of habit. So he'll have a, you'll get to it at the end of the book, but he actually has a, like a test or a quiz. And then... you can sort of figure out where you need to, I mean, if you wanted to try to do some improvement. So I actually wrote down things that I need to do, and I've actually been good about it. One of the things was go to events and talk to strangers. Again, right now it's kind of tough with events, but I did make myself get out of the house a couple times and do things just to be out in public even. Because I'm bad. I could stay home a lot.
You know. It's funny, actually, there is something I did maybe 10 years ago now, a technical photography workshop called Street Portraiture.
Ooh.
And you walk around and see people on the street, walk up to them cold and say, hi, I got this project. Do you mind if I took your picture? And more than half of them say yes. I mean, they don't say, it's okay. And you try to strike up a little conversation with them. And sometimes it falls flat, but sometimes you... I've got a few lifelong friends doing this.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but a few. One of them I met on the street, got a picture with Georgia. I didn't know, you know, who she was, and I bumped into her, and she said, oh, I have this bookstore. That was when she had the old one across the street. And I said, oh, okay. But now we didn't really talk very much. But once in a while, you do come up. And I'm trying to think, there was a it was on Facebook. I don't think so where it came from, but there's a thing called Big Talk, where it goes along with that kind of thing. You walk up and just like you said, instead of saying, you know, where are you from and all this stuff, you say something like, are you afraid of dying? You know, something really heavy like that. And some folks dive into it. Apparently, I haven't gotten quite that far.
Right.
You never know where you're going to go.
Yeah, I actually do a film podcast, and I have struck up conversations with people after a movie, but I have not asked them to record yet, so that's my next step. Again, sometimes people are wary, but like you said, sometimes people would be game, probably, and love to talk about it, so you just have to keep trying.
No, you never know.
Yeah.
You have to be able to fail and not take it personally, because you will fail. You're younger.
Yeah.
A lot of folks will say,
Right. One of the things he said was to send out speculative emails so that you approach someone that you have heard of or admire, and then you pitch an idea or say, I'd love to talk to you. And I actually have a success story, and it's very strange that today's the day I got the letter in the mail, but I had sent a letter to Sheriff DePino, who's Bernadette DePino, who's our sheriff. And I know this sounds like a kooky idea, but you know how we have Adopt-a-Highway programs for people that want to help clean the highway?
Okay, right.
I actually offered to adopt a police officer, and how I meant this was I want to support the police. I know they have a very difficult job, and I'm offering like free tutoring if they have children that have like language arts needs. And
wow.
So she actually wrote me back and said, you know, what a beautiful idea, and I'm going to give it to the person in charge of, like, her volunteer services. So, I mean, it took some guts for me to do that, and not because I think it's strange, but I was worried about them thinking it was strange, and I actually said, I'll go through whatever vetting process you want me to, fingerprint, whatever, I don't mind, you know what I mean? But I was pretty proud of myself, and I got that idea from this book. Yeah.
That's cool you thought about it, you know, much less did something about it. That's kind of an off-the-ball idea. Yeah.
That's what I really...
Congratulations.
Thanks. That's what I really like about this book is that he inspired me to think of things in those little, what I call them, little worksheets at the end of each chapter. It inspired me to do something, which I think is great. Sometimes you just need that poke of figuring something out.
Yeah.